before I pray and he comes. John Mampa is going to be speaking tonight, no stranger to us here at Central Assembly. And John is the director of the Office of Prayer and Spiritual Care at the National Leadership and Resource Center, if I can get all that right. It's a mouthful. And I used to know John as the walker, by the way. I don't know, when I first came here, about lunchtime, I'd be leaving. Somebody would maybe meet me in my office. We're going out for a sandwich or something. And I would see this wonderful person walking around Central and headquarters. And I thought, well, I've recognized him before. He comes to our church. I eventually meet him. He's John. And in my mind, he's John the Walker. You know how you, you associate. Okay, I know John. I see him every afternoon. He's walking around the church. And then, as time goes on, the years pass, you start staring at him a little bit more while he's walking. And if you stare really closely, you can see his mouth moving. Now, some people might say, well, John's off his rocker, and that's for another time, another place. But what I subsequently found out is that John is a man of prayer. And this man of prayer, he commits that hour to praying. Praying for our church, praying for the needs there, and he's just a wonderful brother. He did his schooling at a Nazarene college, so for a while there, I knew him as John the Nazarene, too. So, but he is a wonderful friend of Central's, longtime member and minister, and he's been at headquarters now for 18 years. I mean, who knows? So he's had a wonderful ministry there, and we just appreciate you so much, John. So let's pray, open our hearts to the word tonight and also give in this offering. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to give. Lord, we give knowing that this is a season of generosity, and we pray that you would continue to nurture that spirit into our hearts. And may we do that through this wonderful way of giving through our offerings tonight. We also just want to bless the message tonight that you've laid on John's heart. Would you bless it to our hearts? Lord, we want to be stirred and challenged, and most of all, open to the work of the Spirit in our lives. And we pray to that end this evening. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. As the ushers are passing the bag, would you join me in welcoming John to come?
Thank you so much. God bless you this evening. I trust you had a wonderful Thanksgiving celebration over this past week. We certainly did. And here we are at December 1 already. Can anyone tell me what happened to the past 11 months? They've just flown by. We hear the phrase, time marches on. I think time has picked up the pace a little bit. It doesn't march anymore. It just flies by. And so here we are already almost at the end of 2013, and speaking of time passing, in August of this year, Jan and I officially celebrated 40 years of being a resident in Springfield, and really a part of this church, because we lived in red brick apartments on the corner of the parking lot when we first arrived to go to seminary, and so we have a long history of being part of this wonderful city and this awesome church. And it's a joy to have opportunity to share with you for a few moments this evening on obviously a very topic that's very dear to my heart and prayer. And we'll be talking about equipping and connecting through prayer for a few moments this evening. As we move toward the 100th anniversary of our fellowship, my prayer is that I and all of us here as well as across our fellowship will rise to a new level in prayer, to really see prayer become the driving force behind all that we do as a church, as people, to see God's hand move in powerful and awesome ways, because that's how it happens. God moves in response to prayer. And so I'm really praying that as we move into this centennial, realizing how vital prayer was to the founding of this fellowship, to the establishing of firm foundations, to trusting God in impossible situations humanly, to see his hand move and open doors and establish his church here and around the world in such amazing ways. Prayer affected a lot of that. Prayer moved God's hand in those areas of purpose. Prayer equipped the church and its followers, his followers, in unique and powerful ways. So be watching the website 100.ag.org for special information, of course, on the centennial, as well as there we'll be launching the week of prayer, first week of full week of January. That'll be kind of a focus on thanking God for the past and asking his favor for the present and seeking his guidance for the future. And then there will be 100 days of prayer leading up to the centennial in August. So I think that starts around May 4, May 5, somewhere in there. There will be a 100-day prayer emphasis that will lead up to the centennial celebration. So that will be bathed in prayer. So watch 100.ag.org and be prepared to join in that important prayer time. Prayer is such a vital part of our equipping as Christians. As individual believers, as a church, we really need to get to that foundational understanding of how vital prayer is to the effecting of God's purposes in our lives individually as well as in our church. Our former general superintendent, Thomas Trask, often would say, prayer is what moves the hand of God. And John Wesley put it even more succinctly when he declared, God does nothing except in answer to prayer. And it's basically true. God moves when we pray. And if this is true, then doing our ministry and walking in with Christ in our Christian life is so vital. It's so vital to pray and not rely upon our own strength and our own creativity. As we think about being equipped spiritually for the battles and challenges that lay ahead, as well as the marvelous opportunities that lay ahead. Paul's discussion of the spiritual armor in Ephesians 6 readily comes to mind. There he lists the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet fitted with readiness of the gospel, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And we tend to stop with verse 17, the sword of the Spirit. But verse 18 goes on and says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Donald Stamps, in his text notes in the Life in the Spirit study Bible, says on this verse, he says, prayer is not to be seen as just another weapon, but as part of the actual conflict itself, where the victory is won for ourselves and others by working together with God himself. To fail to pray diligently with all kinds of prayer in all situations is to surrender to the enemy. And the bottom line is, without prayer, strapping on the armor, being equipped, trained in every other method and means that we might have, won't make much difference in the battle. We need to have that empowering prayer backing us. Our general superintendent, who spoke so well this morning, states in his book Core Values, says at whatever point the other elements of the Christian's armor are in use, so too should be prayer. Paul is saying that the shield and the breastplate and the helmet and the shoes are just standing there like an empty suit of armor in a museum, unless the animating presence of prayer brings them to life. Without prayer, we cannot accomplish the work of the Lord. It just doesn't happen without prayer. The Israelite army waged a powerful battle against the Amalekites, recorded in Exodus 17. And the Israelites were a well-trained, well-equipped army, all of which was important to their mission. But victory was achieved as Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arms atop the hill overlooking the battlefield. As they held up Moses' arms, Israel prevailed over Amalek. So we must never proceed in our own strength, our own ingenuity, instead to continually solicit God's aid for our strength and the strength of others through prayer and intercession. Prayer connects us with God. We start with the source. That's what prayer really does initially. It connects us with God. Those of us Have any of you that are involved in ministry or leadership of any kind, have you ever had the tendency to just jump in and start doing things without taking time to just really focus on the Lord and seek His help and guidance? I have to confess guilt to that. Even though I work in a prayer office for our general counsel, I find myself starting the day sometimes just jumping in with the agenda, things that I need to do, to get done, that are on the to-do list. And then I realize, whoa, I need to back off. I need to spend some time seeking God's help and His direction. That's why, as we come to God in prayer, we tend to wave our laundry list of needs. And after all, we have a lot of things to do. But He wants us to spend that time intentionally up front before we begin our day. A few years ago, I did a phone interview with a pastor, Dr. James Nicodemus, pastor of Christ Community Church in St. Charles, Illinois, a large, growing church. Jim Nicodem had just written a book at that time called, and I love the title, it's called Prayer Coach for All Those Who Want to Get Off the Bench and Onto the Praying Field. It's a great book. It's an excellent, very practical book on understanding prayer and getting people to pray, mobilizing prayer. And our office and Gospel Publishing partnered with him in 2010 to put out a booklet for the Week of Prayer that year called Overcoming Obstacles to Prayer. And in the course of the interview, I asked Jim Nicodem about some of the greatest challenges and obstacles to prayer. And he replied that one of the major obstacles is that we tend to have a wrong view of prayer. He said we see it very transactionally. Prayer is all about getting what we want. So we come to God with our lists, and if we don't have a list, we don't pray. Nicodem stated that we need to start approaching prayer relationally instead of transactionally. Jesus, in His teaching on the vine and branches, says in John 15 that we are to remain in Him and Him in us. Nicodem goes on to say that when we are in that relationship, we can ask whatever we will and He will give it to us. The premise of answered prayer here is that we are in right relationship with Christ, that the relational bond is growing deeper and deeper and is bearing fruit. God wants relationship with us more than anything else. And listen to this statement. He says He wants us to desire more of Him before we get more from Him. That's powerful. God wants us to desire more of Him than before we get more from Him. The psalmist urges us to take time to be still and know that He is God. Psalm 46:10. So hard to do sometimes, to be still in our culture, isn't it? Brother Trask also often said prayer puts God into the equation. And when He's in the equation, the solutions to challenges we're facing become more readily apparent. Prayer enables us to receive God's direction for the challenges we face. And, you know, and I'm sure you've experienced many times in your own life where in your time of prayer, your time of devotion, being quiet before the Lord, you've just suddenly had a thought, an idea, a direction, an encouraging sense in your own spirit in that time of prayer. And afterward, you realized, you know, that didn't just come from my own intellect. It didn't just arise out of my own spirit. It wasn't something that I just imagined. But God sovereignly, supernaturally intervened in my own life, in my own spirit, and planted something in my mind, my heart, that helped me at that moment. I've had that happen so many times. I do the devotionals on the intercom each morning at the General Council, and it's an amazing privilege, and really quite a. I take it very seriously, and it's day to day. I don't know from one day to the next what I'm going to share the next morning. And you know, when you're on the intercom with 800 plus employees, it's, you know, a little intimidating, and it can be, and yet the Lord has been so faithful. As I sit in front of a blank screen oftentimes with an equally blank mind, and I think, Lord, I need Your help. I need something to say today or for tomorrow as I sit that afternoon to prepare something. And He's been so faithful. Sometimes it's not until the night hour that the Lord drops something into my heart or spirit, but he's been faithful to do that over and over again. So prayer equips us, enables us to do what God has placed in our hands to do. Prayer works in the thick of battle or in the heat of conflict. I've been intrigued by the account recorded in Nehemiah 1 of Nehemiah's anguish over the plight of Jerusalem that had suffered so much destruction prior to Israel's exile to Babylon. And after hearing the news, Nehemiah bathed the situation in prayer and fasting. And then one day, while serving as cupbearer to King Artaxerxes, the king noticed Nehemiah's sadness and inquired. And so with no small fear and trepidation, Nehemiah told him of the situation in Jerusalem. And when the king surprisingly asked, "What is it you want?" Nehemiah 2:4 and 5 just says, "Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king." In that moment, in that instantaneous moment, Nehemiah shot a prayer to heaven. It was probably just a few seconds that he had opportunity to send that prayer heavenward, and then he answered the king. It was a kind of a quick 1-2 punch. Nehemiah shot a prayer heavenward in the heat of the moment and then gave the answer. He plugged into the source and received unbelievable favor from the king. So sometimes just a momentary prayer in a second or two is all you have, and yet you can receive help and direction from God. I want to just share a quick anecdote. I've been working with my brother-in-law, Rick Riggenhagen, on some memoirs that he's writing about their years as U.S. missionaries in Alaska and elsewhere, and he, in part of the stories that he's sharing while pastoring in 20 years in Alaska, he and my sister Carol, he shares this vignette. He says, "While pastoring in the village of Imanik, Carol and I set out on a snowmobile to hold a service in nearby village of Alukanak. The trip went well overall. We had a great service. Though it was dark, beginning to snow, we boarded the snowmobile for the trip back. All went well until we turned onto the wide part of the frozen Yukon River some 5 miles from home. The wind had picked up and the visibility was low, yet I could see the airport beacon in the village. After going a distance further, I noticed that I'd gotten off the trail. I knew there was the possibility of open water around the main channel, but I didn't know which side of the trail I was on. Moving at some 40 miles per hour, I suddenly saw open water dead ahead. There was no time to stop or turn. Fear gripped my heart. I realized the Yukon at that location was some 90 to 120 feet deep and swift. And shouting, going to prayer, he shouted, 'Jesus, help us!' That was it. That is all he had time to pray. He said, I held the throttle wide open as Carol grasped tightly around my waist, hitting the water at nearly 80 miles per hour. They had a high-performance machine, I can tell you. Hitting the water at nearly 80 miles per hour, water flew up in our faces. Though I feared the worst, I noticed the snowmobile actually seemed to be gaining speed on top of the water. After what seemed forever on open water, we felt a hard jolt as the snowmobile hit the opposite side of the giant hole and was on ice again. Later, we came to a stop on the trail. Carol and I were soaking wet, shaking from the cold and exhilaration at the thought that the Lord had truly sent his angels to protect us." What an amazing God we serve. Praise God. In just a three-word prayer, "Jesus, help us." That's sometimes all we have. But we can connect with God, and he hears us, and he responds to our cry and to our need. Well, connecting with God, of course, shouldn't be relegated only to times that we're dealing with particular challenges or crises or needs. But, you know, prayer isn't a form of crisis management. Oftentimes for people it is, but it really shouldn't be. Instead, our connection with God should be a continuous process throughout the day, keeping the lines of communication open with God. Pastor Mike mentions my walks. I can't confess that I'm always praying when I walk, but I do oftentimes. But my habit has been to try to practice the presence of God, just to express adoration and praise to him regularly through the day. And whether I'm at my desk or walking or doing other things, to just periodically, even driving the car, you know, just Thank you, Lord. I love you. I praise your holy name. Just keeping those lines of communication open with the Lord. And as we express that kind of praise and adoration and love toward God throughout the day, whether verbally in our hearts or out loud, we maintain a freshness and a nearness that enables us then, like Nehemiah, to be able to send a prayer in an urgent situation or a decision we're facing or something we're challenged by, and God will hear our cry. You can be certain of this, friends, that if you will do this, it will revolutionize your walk with God. If you take that time to intentionally each day, throughout the day, from the time you rise in the morning till you pillow your head. I like what Pastor Jeff does in the morning. I haven't emulated that, but when he gets out of bed, he says he just drops to his knees and spends some time. That's not a bad thing to do. Just to spend those first waking moments in giving priority to God and seeking his help, seeking his direction, his favor, his blessing for the day. And what a marvelous difference that can make in our lives. And so never discount prayer as a waste of time. It's time you can't afford not to spend. Bill Hybels titled his well-known book on prayer, I'm Too Busy Not to Pray. And that really captures it pretty well. Our lives get so full of stuff and so full of duties, so full of things that we have to do, and they're all important. But when we take the time to bathe those things in prayer, God is so faithful to come through and minister to us and give us the help that we need. So as we move into this week and face the opportunities and challenges that we have before us, let's do so by giving priority to prayer, priority to that connection, and then see what God will do. And when you face those difficulties, when you face the challenge and the opportunities, you know, prayer is a marvelous connector with people. I mean, when we have opportunity to meet someone, to just pray with them, prayer is something that's rarely refused by people, even people that aren't Christians. They often very open to prayer. God can use those opportunities if we're staying connected, if we're staying in touch, if we're staying keeping that thing live between us and God. God can open those doors and speak to hearts. And then when you pray with someone, that's better, really better than a tract in a lot of ways, because the Holy Spirit then gets to do some work. Because a prayer can plant the seed in the heart of the person that you've prayed with, and that seed will begin to grow and flourish as others connect with them as well. So what a blessed privilege it is. What a blessed privilege it is to take everything to God in prayer, as the old song says. And what a peace we often forfeit if we don't. But what a joy it is when we do, and we just walk with him in communion. So let's just stand together and thank God for his blessing and his care, his watchfulness over us, the wonderful privilege we have to connect with him through prayer. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your graciousness toward us. Thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us over these past 11 months that have gone by so quickly. And yet, Lord, we look forward now to days ahead of walking with you and being led by your Spirit. Lord, there is such a sense in our hearts that the greatest days of our fellowship and the greatest days of the church still lay before us. Lord, tremendous opportunities are ahead of us. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us to be ready to lay hold upon you and seek your face. And Lord, to bathe in prayer all of these things, all of these challenges and opportunities that we face, and see your hand then move in sovereign, supernatural ways in bringing about your purposes. Lord, there are people that need healing, and Lord, there are people that need strength, there are people that need provision, people that need jobs. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that as we support one another in prayer and as we seek your aid and your help, Lord, that we'll see your hand move in surprising, even unexpected ways in fulfilling your purposes in our lives, in our families, in our communities, our nation, our world. Oh, Lord, we need you so much. We need your help so desperately. Help us, Lord, to call upon you daily. Seek your face continually, oh Lord, to do as Paul says, pray without ceasing. just keeping that attitude of prayer open and fresh and alive. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.